The Pat Kenny Show
with Matter Private Network
on News.
Now, since the growth of remote working, employers are increasingly using various technologies to monitor employees working from home. However, many of these practices may constitute a breach of GDPR, given that many employees are unaware of such practices actually going on. For more on this, we're joined by Richard Grogan, employment law solicitor, and by Dr. Laura Bambrick, Head of Social Policy and Employment Affairs at the Irish Congress of Trade Unions, and by Louis Amin, who's the owner of Woodview HRM. Good morning and welcome to you all. Laura, first of all, what is going on? Do we know that Big Brother is actually watching us when we work remotely?
Morning, Pat. Yes, so the surveillance of remote workers is a real area of concern for trade unions, and it's part of this growing trend in the use of AI-powered technology and software that employers are using for a variety of purposes. So even around candidate selection, performance evaluation, who's getting a bonus, who's getting promoted, and redundancy decisions. However, it was really over the last 2.5 years when many of us moved to remote working, that the use of AI in workers management fully came under the spotlight.
Okay, but what's happening? I mean, I can understand that you can use technology maybe to calculate bonuses. You know, people who are selling, they get bonuses and commissions based on sales. Might be easy to calculate it and better to, you know, to quickly reimburse the employee if it's all done automatically by digital technology. But in terms of actually how much work you put in, I mean, some people work very efficiently, can get the job done in a couple of hours. Other people, it might take the 8 hours to get the job done. So what technology is monitoring you and what are they looking for?
Yeah, Pat. So what we've seen when we moved overnight to working remotely was really a more boom in informal surveillance. So that was requiring workers to keep on their laptop camera or microphones to allow their supervisor to do impromptu call-ins. So that was ensuring that bums were on seats. But when we moved to technology, this is really a problem for non-unionized workforces, where management are forcing the use of this invasive monitoring with little resistance. And how it works is you will have a software running in the background that is counting your keyboard, your mouse usage, your web browsing activity, and maybe taking even photograph screenshots of what you're working on every few minutes. So it's the equivalent of having your boss sitting over your shoulder watching what you're doing. They're literally counting how active you are at your keyboard.
Now, Richard, we'll go to you to find out whether or not this kind of thing is legal. First of all, if they tell you they're doing it, is it legal?
Well, they have to tell you. They have to have a policy. It has to set out exactly what's going to be done, what's going to be checked. And then the issue then is always going to be whether it's reasonable. So I would have real problems if somebody's taking, we say, screenshots or even the clicks. They have to be setting out what's the reason behind it. And the difficulty that employers have is once you start setting out these policies, effectively you're saying to your staff, I don't trust you. That's one of the problems. So employers are saying, well, we don't want to put out this policy, but we still want to check. Any checking in that situation is a breach of GDPR, and that can be a claim down to the Circuit Court or to the Data Protection Commissioner, but more and more often now, they're going to the Circuit Court.
Now, what would be the impact of winning such a case in the Circuit Court against your employer? Because presumably the person who's going to do that is someone who's lost their job because they haven't had enough clicks. They haven't, you know, been on their keyboard sufficient number of hours for their employer's satisfaction.
It's actually not going to be the people who've lost their jobs. It's people who are saying, I'm doing it, my job, I'm doing it well, I'm being checked, and I haven't been told about all of this. And what they're sitting in a situation like that is that the Circuit Court is going to say what the employer is doing is illegal. So employers are not allowing those cases get to the Circuit Court. They're settling very quickly.
So are they settling for money or are they just withdrawing the policy?
Well, both, usually. Now, not a huge amount of money, but basically what they're doing is, right, we're going to, you know, sit down and work out exactly how we're going to monitor with you in a fair and reasonable way, rather than in just everything is there and we're just taking stuff off and you don't know what's been taken off, and then making sure that you get copies of what has been recorded so that you know what's been recorded, who's checking it and what it's been used for.
Now, the fact that you have a camera on your laptop and it's pointed at you, are there implications for your own privacy, or does the very fact that you have the laptop, you know the camera's there, it's switched on, so the fact that, you know, your better half might be doing gym exercise in the background, which the employer can observe, have you acquiesced simply by having the camera on?
Oh, most definitely not. And the if you turn the camera on yourself, that's fine. But the difficulty is that the technology is such now that the employer can actually effectively sometimes see without you knowing that the camera is there, actually on and recording. That's the problem. So you can't do covert surveillance, if I can put it to you that way. You have to tell them what they're using it for. And certainly, if you're going to be, you know, using the camera, then it should be set up by somebody calling in and setting it up, rather than you being caught on the hop, if I can put it that way.
But I'm just wondering to what extent, when you agree to be monitored by camera, and maybe you don't have a choice because that's what the employer says, that when you agree to that, whether you feel you're coerced or otherwise, you agree to it, are you allowing your employer to, you know, look at your wallpaper? Is that, you know, a consent?
No, it could only be the consent to the extent that it's properly set out in the policy, and the policy has to set out exactly what it's going to be used for. Simply, you know, saying, "Oh, right, I'm there," it doesn't mean that it can be used for an improper purpose, and it doesn't mean that the employer can use it for spying. They have to tell you what they're using it for and how they're going to use it, who's going to have access, when they're going to have access, and that equally that you're entitled to a copy of anything that they have recorded, so that you know whether it's been done properly or whether there's any inappropriate use of that technology.
Yeah. I mean, you can be a busy fool and tapping away on the laptop all day and get nowhere if you're, you know, in the selling business. On the other hand, a few strategic calls to a few strategic customers can get you the results that your employer might require. So this tool, maybe it's an imperfect tool. Laura?
Of course, it's the difference between, you know, a lot of jobs is around data entry and things like that. So there's ways of measuring it. But there's also, you know, you can have protocols around measuring performance indicators. You don't have to go the whole hog in using the software. Our concern as unions, as Richard has pointed out, when the surveillance has been covertly done, so the employer is doing it without notifying you, there's very clear guidelines within existing legislation. It can only be done for a time limited period, and it can only be done if the employer believes that, you know, the their business is being compromised by something the employee is doing. But if they're doing it, most of this surveillance software is being used just for day-to-day management. And as I mentioned, this is a problem in non-unionized workplaces where there's a power imbalance between the worker and the employer, and you might agree to things. So it might be at interview stage, they say, okay, this job requires, you know, that you will be working remotely, but also that you agree that we have this software running. And you are more likely, if you want to get the job and stay in the job, to agree. So the employer isn't doing anything currently
Laura,
the legislation
If you take the parallel, I mean, when those very self-same employees were not working from home, were in the office, the employer had eyes on them all the time. I'll just read you one text because it puts it in a kind of a nutshell. How typical of a trade union is to complain about employers monitoring workers from home? How else can you run a business? And how can it be a breach of GDPR if you're only monitoring on your own network to which the worker is signed in during working hours? It's such a nonsense. Clearly none of these people run a company. GDPR is always rolled out to protect those who don't deserve the protection. I mean, that's the point. If you're signed on, it's their network. They'd be monitoring you if you were in your place of work. Why shouldn't they monitor you at home?
Look, Pat, I'm not disagreeing. There'll always be messers. We can all tell stories of people we've worked with that are work shy, whether they're working remotely or whether they're working under the eye of their employer in the workplace premises. It comes down to, do you design public policy and company policy designed to, you know, work around the few, or to facilitate the many? Most workers turn into work, they do their work timely, efficiently, and that doesn't matter where they're working.
Well, Mary says it's impossible to get in touch with any public service because many are working from home, not answering their phones. So how is it correct that we, the taxpayer, pay these people for a very poor service? And Laura, I don't know whether you've had your own experience of trying to get in touch with various public services. It's not as good as when they were all in work.
Well, can I just come into that? So remote working really has become the kicking boy for poor customer services. And again, I'm not disputing the fall in customer service. But a lot of that isn't down to the fact that some of the workers are working remotely. It's about under-resourcing and understaffing of customer service, but also part of a wider strategy. We've seen it with banking, to push people to the cheaper online
option. Public service is bigger than it ever was. So, you know, they're not cutting back there. That's for sure, Laura.
Not proportionally to the size of the population, Pat. And that's the story for another day. So, you know, the population we've seen there in the last few months, you know, it's centuries since we have been the size we are. And our public service hasn't kept up pace with that. And we're also a very young population. So,
yeah, but technology and all that is supposed to help us to reduce the size of it rather than increase it. Anyway, I want to go to Louisa Meehan. Louisa, you know, you're piggy in the middle here, I suppose, because working in the HR area, on the one hand, the employees may feel somewhat afraid of this kind of big brother thing. On the other hand, employers may feel they need to get value for money. They need to get bangs for their bucks when people are working at home.
Yeah, I mean, you know, there's a few different things that have come up. And I think the issue that you've touched on there in terms of employees feeling sort of threatened by this. Employees who are doing their work and are working really hard, they're not going to feel threatened because they're doing their work. There is no issue. You do absolutely have to have policies in place. People should absolutely know if there is any sort of surveillance in relation to what they're doing on a day-to-day basis. In terms of the camera, you know, I would agree completely that, you know, that should be something that the employee controls. I have come across situations where an employee is encouraged to have it on all day, but there are typically situations where there are newer employees or trainee employees, and they use it almost as if you're in the meeting room or trying to create an office environment. So you dip in and out of it like on a Zoom call, that you're there and your manager is there to support you if you have an off-the-cuff question. And with the cameras, we can just cover our cameras. Like, I have a little device on my computer, so I can just cover my camera. So that is something that's within
the control. Would the situation be if an employer said, Louise, look, we're going to randomly drop into you 8 times a day, and it'll be random. We'd expect to see you at your keyboard maybe half of that time, you know, because you could be in the loo, you could be having a coffee. It won't happen maybe at lunchtime, but then people use flexible lunchtimes to do various things. Would that be acceptable, that there is a kind of a random popping in to have a look and do it over a period of weeks to monitor performance so that you wouldn't just get people on a bad day?
So, I mean, that's tricky to answer because I don't think it happens like that. Whether you're in the office or you're at home, there are random conversations that take place. So it might be over the phone, your manager might ring you, they might drop in through some form of instant messaging. The video conferencing facilities I haven't seen used in that sort of randomized way. Again, if that's what you've agreed to, possibly it is something that could be used. It's not something that I've come across. It would be more the instant messaging, the phone call, the text messaging, the email. And you are supposed to be available during your working hours. So it is absolutely reasonable for your manager to expect, if they need you to do something or they drop in to check in on you, that you are there and available, the exact same as they would expect you to be there if you're in the office and at your desk. And whilst the majority of employees are doing a really, really good day's work, and we've seen productivity and performance increase with the increased use of hybrid working and remote working. We also hear situations where employees are perhaps taking the word remote to the extreme, and they're working from the beach, or they're heading off to Spain, and they're like, well, sure, the family can have a holiday and I can work and I can do my day's work. And yes, you can, so long as your employer has agreed to that. Mm. You know, Richard talked about the GDPR situations in terms of the employees and the employee rights, but there are also issues in terms of the customer, in terms of other colleagues, in terms of the organizational data. So an employee also has a level of responsibility to ensure that the employer knows where they are situated during their work, knows that the information that they hold that is owned by the organization is safe and is being dealt with in a very safe and controlled manner. So there are rights on both sides of that equation.
I'm just looking at some of the text. Does GDPR apply if you're working from home using a PC or laptop supplied by your employer? So it's as if you were in the office. So why should there be a GDPR implication? Richard, briefly on that. If you're on the company network, then you are within a secure network, and GDPR considerations should not apply.
Oh no, they absolutely do apply, and this came up, Pat, in a recent Court of Appeal case where company had a CCTV camera and they said they were using it for security purposes, but then they disciplined a person because they took too long a break, and the Court of Appeal said that was illegal use. So the fact that it's a private network doesn't mean that GDPR doesn't apply. Yes, of course, as the converse of this is that, remember, you are also dealing with client and customer information, so the employer has legitimate reason to make sure that you're not breaching GDPR on that side. But this is the problem. We don't really have proper codes of practice that have been drafted to set out what is and what isn't appropriate. And that's what we need, so that there's a little bit of openness so people know what can and cannot be done. What's happening at the moment is people are trying to work through it on a case-by-case basis. And that's very difficult, particularly for the SME sector, the cost of actually trying to get it done when they don't have proper guides.
All right, look, we will leave it there. It's a fascinating discussion and really engaging our listeners. But my thanks to Richard Grogan, Employment Law Solicitor, Dr. Laura Bambrick, Head of Social Policy and Employment Affairs at the Irish Congress of Trade Unions, and Louisa Meehan, who is the owner of Woodview HRM.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Matter Private Network.
Weekdays at 9 a.m. on News Talk.